The reading this morning is from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17. It's the rules for holy living. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ in all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thanks, Malcolm. Mal is in our awesome Wednesday morning Bible study group, made up of people as sort of around his and my age. It's just such an encouraging thing to get together and study the Word of God together. We have an membership info session this afternoon at 2. If you're interested in finding out more about what is involved in becoming a member at church, there's no commitments. It's just 2 o'clock today. Willow's Weekly this week. If you're not part of our Facebook group and you get the copy in the mail, make sure you read it this week. Don't just, put it straight in the bin. Not that anybody would do that, but there's lots going on in the life of our church that is in that publication this week. If you're not getting a hard copy and you want a hard copy, because we can't hand out hard copies at the door at the moment, let me know and I'll make sure you get one. We're looking at this section in Colossians. I love this bit. It's called Rules for Holy Living, which is possibly the worst title in any NIV title history, given that the whole entire bit leading up to this was about how we rules basically lack any value for the Christian faith. So it's just a funny little thing. It's not part of the inspired text, the NIV heading, so we don't have to pay too much attention to it like I just have now. So let's pray and ask God to help us understand this part of his word. Heavenly Father, thanks so much that you speak to us in the scriptures, and we pray at this point in our life, Lord, with the different circumstances we're all in, that your word would speak to us and we would be changed by it. Lord, reshape our hearts. Father, shape our desires, the meditations of our minds. Father, shift our hands and our tongues, our feet. by your Spirit through your word now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to use the clicker, Emmanuel, so if you could just know where I'm up to, basically. There's only three slides, but that's perfect. Nailing it so far. Excellent. If I was to try to come up with a way to describe our world at the moment, I'd say unsettled or troubled. I think the pandemic has left us with minds that are filled with troubled waters. Some of us think we're going to die from the pandemic or fear that we might die from the pandemic, legitimately so. Some of us are frustrated because we can't lock in our travel plans, and we can't. Some of us wonder when we'll be able to see our loved ones again. All of us wait on whether restrictions are going to get better or worse. We don't know from day to day. We really don't. We're probably consuming more news than we ever have in history. We read a lot into daily figures and daily headlines like we haven't before. New Zealand had its first community transmission earlier in the week, and now they've got more than 50 cases. You're all nodding. Yeah, that's right. You know, that's disconcerting, isn't it? Because they had more than 100 days. I know you know all this already. Without a case of community transmission. We get excited if we have zero yesterday, don't we? We look at the numbers and we're like, zero, yes. We don't say it out loud. Victoria, we're all watching it, aren't we? Because we want to know if the same thing happens here, how long will it be? How long will it take for us to move through the same thing? So we watch it closely. Someone evades quarantine. Our heart rate rises, doesn't it? In a moment. A couple of people get transported to Townsville Hospital off a boat. Why were they bringing their goods into Australia, for goodness sake? Did I mention I'm getting a new phone next week, by the way? And we see them, we see the pictures taken under the cover of darkness by the secret spy cameramen and journalists, you know, escorting them in, and we think, they're not wearing the proper face masks, those ambulance officers. It's fine. It's fine. It's all fine. All these things have an impact on what psychologists call our baseline level of anxiety. Usually, the normal person, their anxiety travels along at about here, right? And this is where your peak is. So you travel along about here, and then your rates bill comes, and you move up to here. But you've still got plenty of capacity to cope, right? Or you travel along here, and the doctor says, oh, we should get that lump checked out. And you head up to about here. You know what happens when your general anxiety level shifts to about here? Somebody's a bit slow taking off when the light turns green. Can't cope. Somebody pulls up the checkout chick and confronts them about why something costs what it does when the sticker said different. You're behind them. Can't cope. When your baseline level of anxiety is a bit higher, you can't cope. It's a psychological fact. Now, that's me most of the time, right? But that's actually our whole society at the moment. That's literally what's happening in our whole society right now. Everybody's baseline level has lifted a little bit. And so we're just that little bit closer to not coping. Our world is troubled. We really are. We're unsettled at the moment. In this passage today, God's people are challenged in a troubled world to be different, even to let peace rule in our hearts. We're challenged to be different because what we've learned so far in Colossians is without question, we actually are different. And so we need to act differently. We need to feel differently. If your faith is in Jesus, there is actually something profoundly different about you. When you read a headline, when you hear a statistic, there is something different about you. Well, do you feel different to the world around you? Do you think you look different? Do you have peace in your heart? Well, let's turn to this passage and see what that should look like. So Paul says, believers are to change their hearts and minds. Have a read from verse 1. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So a little bit of context in case this is the first time you've joined us for Colossians, not too much in case you've been here every week. Paul said last week in chapter 2 that when we come to believe in Jesus, the rule of sin over our life dies. Our sinful nature is sliced off. It's cut off. It's snipped, remember? Circumcised. We die with Christ, and through faith, we rise with him. We're bonded to Christ by the Spirit, inseparably so. He lives forever. We too will live forever, even though we die. We're part of God's new creation. God has given us fullness. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 said, we don't have a God-shaped hole in us. We're full. We lack nothing in our relationship with our Creator. I said last week that if you're a quick learner, you'd be sick of Paul saying the same thing over and over and over again. But just for people like me, it's good to hear. We lack nothing in our relationship with our Creator. There's nothing we can do to add to it. We're already full because of what Christ has done for us. So since the start of verse 1, since our future is now secure and we belong to God's eternal family, Paul says our hearts, by which I think he means our desires, ought to be set on things above. And in verse 2, our minds, by which I think he means the meditations, ought to be set on things above, not on earthly things. So our desires and the meditations of our mind, our home, our kingdom, our hope, our comfort, our security is not in earthly things. It's now with Christ at the Father's side where we will be. In fact, Paul's already made the very strange statement that we're already raised with him through faith in the Lord Jesus. Our home, our kingdom, our hope, our comfort, our security, we used to find it in earthly things, but now we don't. We used to look for it in the things of this world. We used to worship created things rather than the Creator because that's where our security was found. But Paul says in verse 3, you died to that through faith. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, when I think of this, I think about myself growing up. You know, you irritate your older siblings. You kind of defy their authority over you. And you spend your life living in fear. You know, you're constantly fleeing the danger. I think that's a bit what it's like when we spend our lives in rebellion against God, who's our true authority. We spend our lives not knowing whether or not we're completely secure. But when we come to faith in Christ, we're like an obnoxious little sibling hiding behind his mum's skirt. How secure is that, right? For those of you who've been obnoxious little siblings, I can smell my mum's skirt, you know. I can feel sitting behind there and the security that comes with that. That's us in Christ. Our life is hid. We could not be more secure than we are in Christ, protected, covered. Our hope is in that very fact. And our hope is not in this world somehow turning around, or society somehow getting itself together and improving. You'd be waiting a long time for that, if you're waiting for that. Seeing Christ again is our hope. Can you imagine it? Being with him. Actually experiencing the tangible presence of being with your Creator God. So Paul says, meditate on that. Make that the desire of your heart. Not earthly things, change your hearts and minds because you are different. When my kids were younger, they went through various obsessions, as we all did and do. They had these little plastic things called trashies, right? Anybody? Anyway, they were all the rage. And then they had these things called Beyblades. Yep, you know, Beyblades, let it rip. They'd fight over them and they'd get upset if they lost them or if they broke them. It was like the gold rush, you know, back in the 1800s. People were shooting each other and it was crazy times. But now, for my older kids, you know what? They view these things as junk. I'll occasionally find one behind the couch or you know, under the couch and I'll be like, do you still want this? I don't even know what that is, Dad. They don't want them. They get in the way. You know why? Because now the desires of their heart and the meditations of their mind are on much higher things. They want a phone or a mountain bike, much more expensive things. I think all of us at one stage, and perhaps to some extent still, have desired and meditated upon earthly things. You know, the holiday, how good to actually go to where we want to go. The nice house, you know, finished. It's one of those kind of maintenance-free homes. The car that smells like a new car every day. The career that's actually really fruitful and rewarding, and you kind of get up in the morning looking forward to going to work, and you come home and you're like, what a great day. The clothes, the waistline, the financial security, the kitchen. Oh, it'd be great if you didn't have to scrub the bench so hard because it was just always clean and it was marble. We meditate on those things. We used to. But if we know what we have in Christ, those things are junk, right? When we're actually seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and if it's possible that somehow we could dig up a memory of a nice marble kitchen bench, it'll be like me raising a trashy with my kids today. What even was that rubbish? The Apostle Paul says, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We are changed in Christ, so we've got to change our hearts and our minds. I wonder if you could do that, if you could change the desire of your heart or the meditation of your mind. Well, Paul continues from verse 5 to say that since we've died and risen with Christ, more than our hearts and minds, we're actually to change our hands, our feet, our tongues, all our actions, our whole uniform is to change. Have a look at what he says from verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. I love that this is in the Bible because it means that people were struggling with it, even though they were Christian. So if you're struggling with this, you're still a Christian, but this is written to you, right? The therefore in verse 5 is a direct reference to the fact that we've died and been raised with Christ. Our identity has changed, our future has changed. Therefore, we should change too. All the things that belong to our earthly nature, our old self. If we used to look at pornography, if we used to flirt or be sexually active outside of marriage, we try to put that to death. If our life used to be about gaining as much for ourselves as possible to secure our own comfort, regardless of what it costs others, we put that to death. We don't do it anymore. Why? Because God didn't design the world to be full of self-centered, selfish, greedy, grabby people. In fact, what does it say in verse 6? Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Paul's like, we used to walk in these ways. Our feet used to move in that direction before we had hope in Jesus. But now, verse 8, we need to change our directions, our hands, our feet, all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, that's a very hard one, things that in their very essence actually exist with the sole purpose of destroying relationships, right? You look at those words. These things are contrary to our purpose as human beings. Paul says we don't do those anymore. We don't lie, he says in verse 9. That's our old uniform, our old practice. Our new uniform is different, verse 10 says. We're actually trying to be who God made us to be. We're no longer defined by race or boundary or nation or socioeconomic status. We're actually defined by our faith in Christ. Together, we're seated with Christ. And together we'll be with him in eternity. We're no longer clothed in selfishness. If we're not being greedy and angry and sexually immoral and lying, what do we use our hands and feet and our tongues for instead? Well, it's spelled out in verse 12. We clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. The hands that used to grab become hands that give. You know, the tongue that used to lash out becomes a tongue that loves. The hands that used to hit become hands that help. the feet that used to run and hide for the shame of being found out, now run to confess and seek to change. Our anger turns to gentleness and patience rather than gossip and slander and bitterness. We forgive grievances like nobody's ever seen, and it's really confusing to people. Just as verse 13 says, we do what the Lord did for us. We forgive as the Lord forgave us. We changed our uniform, right? We're no longer clothed in selfishness. We're clothed in love. I watched this spy movie recently called The Kingsman, I think. And the storyline was about a bloke who went from being a chav, right? It's an Adidas-wearing hooligan, basically. If you wear Adidas, you might want to have a good look at yourself. Anyway, he joined this spy agency and he became a well-mannered, formally dressed gentleman who went round saying things like, manners maketh the man. His identity changed, so he changed everything about himself. His uniform literally changed and his manner changed with it. That's really what Paul's saying to us here. In Christ, we have a new identity. We're different. And so our whole appearance is to change. We take off the old uniform and we put on the new uniform. Now, some of us have been believers here for a long time already, decades and decades. But we're still wearing some of our old clothes, aren't we? We haven't rid ourselves completely of our sexual immorality. It's like my year 12 jersey. Probably should have gone in the bin a long time ago. We stick it down in the bottom drawer, our sexual immorality, because, you know, it's not in our go-to drawers. We stick it down in the bottom drawer because it's there when we need it, when we're feeling a bit sentimental. We can pull it out. Some of us still wear greed because it's so comfortable. You don't throw away the comfortable stuff, do you? Even if you know it's not the look you're after. Or slander and gossip. You know, they're like those really tight jeans. You know that you probably shouldn't be wearing them anymore, but they could make you look really good around your friends. So you keep them. You see, in Christ, we have a new identity. God has filled us with his fullness, so we don't need to do any of those things anymore to impress people or find security. We've been raised with Jesus. We have the hope of glory that can't be taken away from us. And so what we need to do is actually get that garbage bag, put all those dirty old clothes in it, no matter how comfortable we feel in them, take them down to Vinny's and leave them there. That's what Paul's saying, the changes that needs to happen in our life. Now you think about your cupboard at home. What do you need to throw out? See, the thing is, the older you get, even if you try and get new clothes, they won't fit in your cupboard unless you clear out some of that old rubbish, right? That old rubbish has to go. That's what Paul's saying it means when we're a Christian. We change our hearts and minds for sure. But we change our uniform as well. We've got a new identity. Well, now that we've acknowledged Jesus as our Saviour, I think what Paul's saying is, and he sums this up in the last paragraph, we really need to let Christ lord it over us. Have a read from verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. So there are three commands in this last paragraph, and they all equate to living with Jesus as your Lord. Rather than trouble or inadequacy or unsettledness ruling in our hearts, with Jesus as Lord and as people who are members of his kingdom, verse 15 says we ought to let peace rule in our hearts. It's the opposite of what it feels like to live under a tyrant or an oppressive dictator when you follow Christ. You don't walk around with the burden of your ruler hanging over you. You actually walk around with peace ruling over your heart. Paul has said this time and time again in this letter. If your faith is in Jesus, you are secure. Do you lack anything? No, I lack nothing. You are complete. Direct your heart away from anxiety. You've got no need to be anxious. Direct your heart to the peace you have in Christ. And rather than letting every different news headline and public health statistic sink into your psyche, verse 16 says we should let the message of Christ dwell in us richly. And he explains how that can look as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I was thinking we need to add a third song again. I think we're almost at the stage in Queensland where we can do that, but we won't mess up the roster right now, but later on I think we'll do that. If Christ is your Lord and you know you're seeking his peace, let his message saturate you. Do you sing Christian songs? I can remember when I became a Christian, my brother had been a Christian for about a year or so beforehand, and he was listening to Christian music like it was going out of style. And, you know, I'd just sort of been in uni and, you know, never, ever listened to Christian music. And I thought it was cheesy, vomitous, terrible stuff. And some of it is really cheesy. But it's great. Do you do memory verses? Do you memorize parts of the Bible? If I ask you, could you memorize part of the Bible, would you come up with anything other than do not murder? You know, like, do you memorise the bits of the Bible that remind you of the grace of God? I'll just give two examples of how I see people do this in my life. There's a lady in the office I work with. She plays Christian music and a lot of rubbish Dutch music as well. But sometimes I'll catch her singing and she'll be singing because it actually fills her heart, this Christian music. The Word of God is dwelling in her richly. And I actually find Christian music pretty helpful now. It's quite uplifting to be reminded of the hope that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good thing about Christian songs is very few of them are, you know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not. And so, like, I actually love songs that remind me of the grace that God's shown me in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got another friend on Facebook only now, but I was friends with him in real life once. He's had a full heart, lung, and I think liver transplant. Incredible, incredible Christian man. And every day he posts a memory verse and he puts effort into creating a pretty background for it on his Facebook news feed. He's trying to let the Word of God dwell in him richly. And a way of him doing that is to actually put some thought into what might be helpful to share with others. Do you know what I mean? So he's not just picking a random verse. He's actually thinking, what can I share with all my friends to remind them or show them of the love that God has for me in the Lord Jesus? How do you make the Word of God dwell on you richly? I know we've got church and Bible study and reading our own Bibles every day, but dwelling in you richly is a whole of life thing, isn't it? Paul's third command in this paragraph is in verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm probably not the only one the VB ads come up for at this point in time, whether you're milking a cow or pulling a plough or whatever. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When you understand your identity is now in Christ, even if you've got a difficult boss, put your hand up if you've got a difficult boss. Where are Brian Steele's employees? Or if you've got, you know, difficult family circumstances. You know, if your kids are terrible. They're not always terrible, but sometimes they're atrocious, you know. Or if your parents are terrible, you know, or if your financial situation is difficult, or if your health is deteriorating at a rate of knots. In all those things, you know, you can work absolutely 100% knowing that you're not working for success here on earth. You're not striving to get some kind of permanent victory here in this place. You probably never change your spouse. You probably never change your kids. You may never change your parents. Nobody's going to change Brian. But as we work hard, as we listen to the Word of God, and we do all things for him as our Lord, it's satisfying. It gives us peace. Because he's a good boss in all things. You know, when you eat a lot of garlic, I was going to say asparagus, but it seemed inappropriate. But when you eat a lot of garlic, it seeps through your pores and it comes out of you. I think the Lordship of Christ is meant to sink deep into us and give us such a sense of peace, you know, as the Word of God dwells in us richly, that it kind of seeps out of us. And everybody walks past us and they're like, I can smell that. I think that's what we're meant to be like as Christians. You know, these are troubled times we live in. All of our baseline level of anxieties have risen. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what the case numbers will be. What time's the press conference? Usually around 11 in Queensland. We don't know what the restrictions will be next week. We don't know what's going to happen with these two blokes in Townsville Hospital. We really don't. We don't know whether any health professional is going to get it and come home and or come to church and spread it around. We don't know what's going to happen with school. But we do know who we are in Christ. And that will not change. We're raised with him. Our future's secure. We have the hope of glory. You know, we can even have that hope in the midst of the worst pandemic our generation's seen. And even in a pandemic or any other thing, we can do everything for the Lord Jesus. Well, let's pray for God's help with that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you've made us in Christ. Lord, we delight in the fact that we are hidden in Christ Jesus. We delight in the fact, Father, that we are safe with you. But Lord, in light of what we are, help us to change the desires of our hearts, the meditations of our mind, our hands, our feet, our tongues, our whole uniform, Lord. Let your peace rule over our hearts. Let your word dwell in us richly, Lord, in all things. Help us to work as we are working for you, our Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.